Welcome to the Raising Confident Girls podcast, your guide to raising strong, confident daughters. I'm Melissa Jones, the founder of Girls Positivity Club and a teacher for over 20 years. In a world where girls often feel overwhelmed, anxious, and confused, this podcast is your go-to space. As caregivers, we navigate challenges together. I founded Girls Positivity Club to provide a place where you belong and get the tools to face today's hurdles. Consider this your regular check-in with a trusted friend, offering insights and practical tips for meaningful conversations. I'm here to help you feel confident on this journey of raising a generation of empowered girls. Let's dive in and raise those confident girls together. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Raising Confident Girls. I'm Melissa, and I am happy that you're here today with me. And I always say I'm grateful whether it's your first time or whether you've listened to every episode. And today I want to talk about a topic that I got from another podcast. So I love podcasts, and I think it's why I was so passionate about starting my own, because they're so powerful and they've been so powerful in my life. But Mel Robbins had a guest on last week, or maybe it was early this week, that was a scientist who had studied happiness. It was like an 86-year study on happiness from Harvard. And she had this expert in and was talking about happiness and what we, you know, what we consider happiness and what we need to feel happy and in life. And it wasn't all unicorns and rainbows. You know, it's, my son always says that to me, Mom, everything's not unicorns and rainbows. And, you know, it's kind of our inside joke, but really it's true. And we don't want to, you know, pretend like everything has to be perfect in order for us to be happy. And I apologize for the roosters are really crowing right now. So just if you didn't catch last week's episode, totally interrupting my train of thought, but yeah, there's a lot of crowing in the background because we have chickens. So apparently they have a lot to say about this. But getting back to the study, it's like, you know, they study these people and they were, you know, boys and girls, and as they were growing up. And it really got me thinking about who has your daughter's back and the four key people that every girl should really have around her. Because what the study showed was, you know, how important relationships are in people's lives. And it doesn't mean you have to have a perfect home life or you have to be close with every parent or things like that. I think it's really important for us to think about, in our girls' lives, does she have these people in her life? And I thought it would be a good episode because it's what I love about podcasts is when I reflect on things and I think about my own life or my child's life or people that I love or, you know, just ways to grow. And I think it's just something really powerful to think about. And then I always have the frame of like, how could I use this to help girls and to help caregivers of girls? Because I always want to spread anything that I'm learning or any insight that I have, you know, based on my experience, you know, of over 20 years of working with girls and families, and then just new things that I'm learning. Because I think you're never done learning, you know, you're never finished. It's like, we're always going to grow in new ways. And that doesn't always feel comfortable. But in thinking about the relationships, the scientist described it like a home base. So if you think about it, I think about games that kids play. And I think we've all probably played tag. And there is always a home base. In most tag games, there is a home base. I could get into a whole thing with tag because there are so many variations just because of being around kids for so long and seeing so many games of tag. But thinking about it as a metaphor for what we want our girls to feel, we want them to feel that home base. So I think about when I was growing up, my home base was literally my home. It's the only place I really felt warm and secure. I felt accepted for who I was, even when I was quirky, even when I said weird things or made mistakes. I always knew that my home was a safe place for me to be myself, and I felt a very strong sense of belonging. And the same thing with my extended family. With most of my extended family on my mom's side, especially, and my dad's side, it depended on, you know, the setting and where we were, but I did have all of those caring adults. And I think about how important that was in my own development of my confidence, my self-belief in things, because I struggled so much because I didn't know how to do those things for myself. I didn't know how to have my own self-belief. So I lacked the skills, and my mom didn't really know how to teach me all the things. Yes, of course, she taught me things, and I'm so grateful for that. And so did other people in my life, but I really didn't have the knowledge or anyone guiding me on how to do that until I got to that dark place, you know. And even though I talked to my parents all the time, what was missing was that I was having that internal chaos because I felt so chaotic at school internally. And that came out in like me crying a lot and not knowing how to express it or how to get help at school for knowing how to fit in or knowing, not necessarily fitting in, but knowing that I could be myself and be accepted. There weren't very many safe people. I always felt kind of judged or left out. And I think that I know that that's why I'm so passionate about what I do in Girls Positivity Club, because I want to give the girls those tools so that, yes, they have a home base at home and they have those people around them who are supporting them, and also a place outside the home where they can belong after school and they can learn the skills and the tools that parents can reinforce. And my favorite thing is when I hear, I get like a text from a parent or a, you know, message or an email that says like a screenshot of a parent, a conversation they had with a teacher. And they were like, she's so, like recently I had this happen where the mom was like, it was this really nice note from a teacher. And she was like, you're doing such a great job with her at home. And we know you're reinforcing, you know, getting these skills in of, you know, helping her in her academics. But also I just want to really compliment how positive she is and how she sees things as growth. You know, like she isn't afraid of a challenge and she's able to, you know, work through things with a good attitude and trying new things and all these things. And this particular girl has, she's 9 and she's been with me for 3 years in Girls Positivity Club. And it's not that I think I have done this only for her, like I'm the reason, but it's the combination, you know, the organization and what we do and why I develop these activities for the girls and really teaching them how to work through hard things and in a way that's really practical and understandable for kids. And the mom's intention was like, oh my gosh, thank you for being my partner. She's like, I know it's not all us. You've had such a huge impact on her. And it's what she's taking away from what you do. And because I am one of those 4 people for her daughter. And that's like the biggest compliment you can ever receive. And in being that partner, because I think we all would like to say, no, I want to be all those things for the girls in my life. I want to be all the things that she ever needs. And what I think is really tricky about thinking that way and can be damaging is like, we can't be all things to all people. And they do need other people pouring into them. And it is, as they say, like raising a village. Like we need different people in our lives to help us through these things so that they don't go down dark paths. Like I didn't have the tools internally. So I had that internal chaos myself. And so my mom, even though she was a very safe person for me and one of those 4 people, knew how to listen to me and give me emotionally what I needed. But then there was also a lack in knowing how to give me the tools to know what to do beyond her own experience. And I don't think that's her fault or anybody's fault. It's just that we all come from things from different perspectives. And it wasn't until I was on the edge of the bed with a gun in my hand that my mom realized how internally chaotic I had gotten from the age of 7 to 15. You know, for 8 years, I just struggled and didn't know how to handle it. And it's not like I never participated in sports or I never was in dance classes or I never was in Girl Scouts or I never was in blah, blah, blah. I was in all of it. I was in all of these things, but there was missing that feeling of community, that true acceptance of who I was. Because in those settings where I went to school or where I was in these groups, either sports or whatever, you were only treated like you belonged if you were good at the thing. So if you were an average player, you weren't really given much attention by the other girls. You were kind of invisible. That's how I felt. And they kind of looked down on you if you weren't very good. And I tried hard, but you know, my family kind of jokes about like, yeah, we're not surprised you weren't athletic, but that's okay. Not everybody has to be on a team. You know, there's value in being part of the team. And that's really what our girls need, is to feel like they truly belong and are accepted. And I think we can really have this misunderstanding of like, oh, well, she's in these certain things, so she's fine. And like thinking that they naturally have these skills, and they really have to be taught, and you really have to have conversations and know how to bring these things out in her, and continuing to nurture and put her in places where she can learn these things. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. And so when you think about who has your daughter's back, you know, even when things don't go well, and this came from that happiness study too, it's like, even when things don't go well, you have someone who has your back. That is super crucial. What they found in the Harvard research is that the happiest people had these four categories of people, and they knew that someone in the world loved and accepted them for who they were, mistakes and all, imperfections and all, and loved them anyway, unconditionally. So I think that we know that, and we think our kids know that, but we have to verbalize it too, especially when they're in that preteen, teenage. We have to keep reinforcing it. I think we're really good at it when they're little. And then they start to get older, and we make an assumption, myself included, that, oh, they already know. Like, oh, they know to believe in themselves. And yes, they know the idea, but they don't always know how, when things are hard, when things don't go well, or what to do in different situations. And so the more we can equip them ourselves, or in putting them in environments that do that in different ways, the better off they'll be, and not only happiness, but in their own internal confidence and in the confidence of knowing how to handle hard things in healthy ways, so that they don't go down dark paths like drug use, unhealthy relationships, you know, to my extreme dark place of potential suicide. And we don't want our girls to go down those paths. So we want to equip them and really just make sure that they have these things in place, and keep checking in with them about those, and making sure that they do know that they have people who have their back. So when I think about this, you know, I think in those four categories. So you might be thinking like, you know, it can feel kind of scary, where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want those things to happen. I'll do anything, you know, because we all will for our girls. And so there are these four categories. The first one is a mentor. So a mentor or an expert. This is a person who is really knowledgeable in a certain area. So this could be a coach. This could be a person who knows how to do something that is ahead of where your daughter is. This could be a person who is in your church group who is a mentor. This is a person who, besides you, is, you know, like saying, I believe in you and I'm here for you. And for me, it was a therapist, because I had gone down that dark path. And my mom didn't know what else to do, because I was in all the activities, but I didn't feel a sense of belonging. And I'll touch on when we talk about that, you know, how to check in with your daughter. But having that person who's not your own parent, who believes in your daughter or the girl in your life. It's like, when we say things to our kids, sometimes this is what girls tell me. They say, well, they have to say that because they're my parent. So it's like, you believe your parent that, you know, you tell them like, you can do anything. you know, you just keep trying. You're telling them all the right things and they do hear you, even if you get an eye roll. But what really is impactful is not only hearing that from you, but hearing that from a mentor, someone who they look up to and who they are, you know, it's a good role model. This is a person who has solid, you know, values and is a good positive influence on your daughter. And this could be something that someone that they know personally and they go to. So again, this could be a coach, this could be a leader in some way. I consider Girls Positivity Club leaders to be mentors. I'm a mentor. You know, there are a lot of different types of mentors you can have. And I also think, as much as this might sound crazy, there can also be good social media mentors. Now, yes, there are the people that are, you know, not the right fit, or you're like, oh my gosh, really? You want my daughter to watch someone online? There are really good people out there. And there are some influencers that the girls have told me about. I don't have their names at the top of mind, but that talk about positive things. Like, there's one girl on TikTok, she's a teen, and she talks about body positivity. And a lot of my girls followed her, and she didn't have, quote unquote, a perfect body, but she talked about how she still felt beautiful, and it was still good to be herself and, you know, not feel held back by that. And there are lots of others, but, you know, I think having those conversations with, like, who are they following online, and having them show you. And if it's a person who's, you know, doing sexy dances and that's all they're doing, and you start to see your daughter do those things, it's like, okay, that needs a conversation, you know? Or I think you might be surprised. Sometimes they watch artists online, especially a lot of my girls who are very artistic and they have an interest in that. They watch YouTube videos of artists of how to do things and how to draw certain things. They follow those kind of people and of where their interests are. Or if they're an athlete, they might have a certain player that they look up to, especially if they're female, and they follow them and they learn about their life and they watch them. And so it's like being in touch with who is she following, if she's on social media, and how is it making her feel, and asking her, like, what do you learn from this mentor? And, you know, if it's the dance person, and I'm not saying I follow dance people, but they're funny or they're lighthearted and they're, and I was a dancer. So I like following dancers, and they don't ever make me feel bad. So I think there can also be kind of a stereotype with, oh, all the dance videos on TikTok are bad or Instagram are bad. It's like, no, it's who you follow, you know, and it's muting or deleting the ones that don't make you feel good and maybe aren't the best role model. And I think as caregivers and parents of girls, we need to pay close attention to who they are following and have conversations about it and be interested, instead of just shutting it down all the time and being like, you're on your phone too much, or you're deleting, you know, that app because you're on it too much. I mean, I've definitely done that too, but because I never say I'm a perfect parent. Like, I've always done, you know, I've done all the things pretty much. And it's like, no, have a conversation with them. You might be surprised by what they say. Same thing with experts. Like I said, artists, musicians. Musicians are great to follow. They learn about their lives. They learn about their process, especially if they're singers, or there's like a voice coach that's really cool online. And she works with teens and she does voice exercises with them. She's really cool. I can't think of her name, but she has Rubik's Cube earrings all the time. And she has these like voice exercises. I didn't follow her because I'm not a singer and it wasn't really my thing, because I don't really want to be. But I thought, oh my gosh, for people who want to improve their vocals, like, what a great person to follow. And she was very positive. So those good people are out there. We just have to show them to our daughters. The second group, of course, and which is, I think, the number one on our minds is you. You know, you as the parent. They need a warm adult in their lives. They need someone to say things like, and this comes from Dr. Becky, I believe you. You know, when they tell us things, it's like there's this like knee-jerk reaction of wanting to like react to something if we don't approve of what they tell us. But in my mind, I always think, okay, don't say anything, just listen. And it's really hard sometimes. And I've definitely broken that rule. But it's like, as a parent, they need a warm parent. They need a person that they can go to. And it really just depends. And maybe it is both of you. You know, you can be different things for the girls. I mean, my mom and dad were both a big influence on me in different ways. So it's having that at least one warm connection. And this goes back to the study of all of the people that reported having like a happy life had a warm adult or warm parent in their life. And that's really important because we teach them boundaries. We teach them how to do life. And we don't always do it perfectly, but we have conversations about it with them. And it's not only saying like, I believe you, it's also like when they share things with us, saying things that are supportive, like, I'm glad you talked to me about this. Or when they're talking, like if you're not sure what they're talking about or you need more information, tell me more. Keep going about this and tell me more. Tell me why you think that. And I think the more we can listen to them before we respond, the more we can understand where they're coming from and what they need. And then we can take action and we can decide how to help them and how to support them through whatever it is, whether it's a good, happy thing that they're sharing that maybe you're, you know, I mean, you maybe didn't even know about. And they're like, oh my gosh, you did that? You know, they maybe stayed behind and helped the teacher. I heard about this from a girl. I didn't even know that she did this. She stayed behind and picked up all the pencils that were on the floor. And she just did it. It was a middle school girl. She just did it really quickly because she noticed. And the teacher was like, I really appreciate you doing that. So it was in a quick conversation that she even shared that. So I think as parents, we can really learn a lot by asking those check-in questions and being that source of the listening ear. And of course, if they want advice, and we always want to give our kids advice, then we can do that. So that's two. Number three is siblings and other family members. This would be extended family. So I had aunts and uncles in my life who were a big influence on me. And even ones that I didn't see all the time, but I would just see them at family gatherings. I just always had a really good relationship, and we either had an interest in common or really it's the ones that asked about my life. And that's what I hear so much from girls too, is from when they talk about their favorite uncle or their favorite aunt, it's usually they're fun, they're funny, they take them to do things, and they ask them about their life. And they tell me, the girls tell me that they can tell they really care by the way they talk to them. So they don't just tell them, you know, the way that they should be living or whatever. They listen. They hold space for them and they bond. And that really is important. And same thing with the parent relationship. We always want to have those moments of connection. It doesn't have to be whether you're extended family, whether it's a cousin, or whether it's you as the caregiver, the parent. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. It's just those little moments of bonding. Maybe it's going to get an ice cream. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it's you go to Target together and you whatever. So just those little things. And I think about like even my uncle, who I only saw a couple times a year. Whenever he talked to me, he really listened. He looked at me. He wasn't looking around. It wasn't just like a quick, hi, how are you? I really could tell that he cared about my life. And he always ended our conversations with, I'm proud of you, kiddo. And no matter what, I always appreciated that so much, because the little times I did see him, he just made me feel really safe and really seen. And I think we can't do that enough for our girls. And then even with cousins, you know, we have those favorite cousins that we hang out with, we play with. It's like being open to new interests and new things. Like my cousin Chad was like a brother to me because I grew up as an only child and he was my kind of like my brother. And so we would play Hot Wheels together, or we would ride bikes in different places together that I didn't usually. And it really helped expand my horizons and things. And I knew I could go to him if I needed something. It wasn't like we had deep conversation all the time, but I knew I could go to him if I needed something. And I think he felt the same about me. And then the last group is those after school activities. So like Girls Positivity Club, that's exactly like I described in the beginning. That's exactly why I do what I do, because I want girls to have a safe community where they can belong, they can get the tools and do fun things. We do creative things, we do artistic things, and we laugh, we dance, it's great. It's a great place to be. And you know, that can be an art class, a music class. It can be a team sport. It can be swimming. It can be a walking club, anything. So whatever your daughter's interests are, just helping her really try new things. And the number one thing is to ask her, do you feel like you belong there? Do you feel accepted? Do you feel like you have time to connect? And the one surprising thing I think parents assume when their kids are in sports or an art class or music class or taekwondo or whatever, martial arts are also amazing for girls, is they assume they have deep connections there. And sometimes there's not time for that. So I heard from a girl last week that she's in taekwondo and she loves the class and she loves her instructor. She's learning so much, but she doesn't really have friends there. She has friendly people, like she knows people's names and things like that. But unless you make a plan outside of class, class is so busy, there's not really a lot of time to get to know other people. So I think we just have to be careful of putting our daughters in activities and thinking that solves everything, and being intentional about the types of activities that, yes, she might be in a sport, and she might need a different community where she can go deeper with other girls or with other people. So I hope this is helpful. Let me know if you think there's another category of what your daughter needs, those people who have her back or those communities who have her back. And I would love to hear from you. And here's what I want to give you as a takeaway. Ask your daughter how she feels in these areas. So say something like, do you feel like you have these people in your life? And go through those four categories with her and have her name them. And it's not bad if she doesn't have them all, but just think, ask her, would you like to have a mentor? Or would you like to be part of a group that's like this? Or just do a check-in about that and see what she says. I think you might be surprised. And you know, it could be a pleasant surprise, or it could be like, oh, an eye opener where I want to get her involved in a different type of those four categories, making sure that you do that so that she feels like she has her back and you have her back, and so do other people. So this is helpful. Please pass it on to another parent or caregiver of a girl. And I would love for you to leave a review and a rating, hopefully 5 stars, because you're getting good value out of this. And until next time, keep raising those confident girls. Thanks for joining another empowering episode of the Raising Confident Girls podcast. Share today's insights with caregivers and friends, building beautiful relationships with strong girls. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're not just a podcast, we're a community. Follow Girls Positivity Club on social media for more empowering content on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. This podcast empowers you, supporting incredible girls. Let's create strong, beautiful relationships with the girls in our lives. I appreciate you listening today. Stay confident, stay connected. Until next time, keep raising those confident girls. You've got this.